First of all, I was talking to a young man today, and he was just sharing with me about the podcast that we'd be sending out. We would like to continue to send out a podcast for those people that are shut in. So if you don't mind, we will continue to do that. So we will be, the wife will be recording the scripture on the service that we have today. Nope. You know, what was kind of, I don't know whether anybody got an opportunity to look at the scripture that I sent out today, you know, but the scripture for today is coming from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Now, the last time that we was here, it came from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, you know? So God is truly telling us something. Oftentimes, I just share with you in that there's nothing, not even with the scriptures that he gives me on a daily basis, happens because of chance. God is talking to us continually. When we talked about the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, we were talking about God showing them that, guess what, it's not going to be all the time where you're going to be in captivity, but because of what the things that you have done in your life, guess what, you will have trials and you will have tribulations. But right around the 40th chapter, he was telling them, hold on, because guess what, I'm going to send someone in which that will help you out down the road. And that goes right into the 53rd chapter, as we had talked about. The 53rd chapter, it actually has about 12 verses. And each one of these verses, I mean, it was so meaningful and so graspy until I just couldn't get enough of it. You know? So what I'm going to do, and sort of to bring you into view, to kind of give you a highlight as to exactly what we're talking about, I'm going to read the 53rd chapter. It's only 12 verses. And then I'm going to go back to each one of these here verses and kind of share some thoughts that God has given me. One of the things I want you to be mindful of as I prepare to read the 53rd chapter, Isaiah wrote this here particular book. This was something like 70 years before Christ had even came. Now, people, as we continue to read, you got your minor prophets, you got your minor prophets, you got your major prophets. The prophet was, to be able to tell whether he was a major prophet or a minor prophet, it depended on if he gave you a prophecy and it took maybe 100 years before it came true, but it did come true, they considered him as a major prophet. You know, minor prophet, you know, they just kind of say, hey, let me tell you what's going to happen next week. Let me go tell you what's going to happen next month. You know, so that's kind of how that kind of entailed talking about major prophets and minor prophets. Now, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it begins with this, and he says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form of nor comeliness. And when they see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you for bringing us down the road. We thank you for your grace and mercy. As I sat and I talked with some of the individuals that's in their room, within this room, we realized that they were doing some traveling. They was moving around, and you blessed them. You enabled them to come back safely. You kept the car running smoothly, dear God.
Hallelujah.
We just thank you. Some of the individuals that's here in this room, we didn't get an opportunity to fellowship with them over a month or two. And we just thank you, dear God, that we get an opportunity to fellowship with them now, right now. And I don't want to take any privilege that you've given to us for granted. We just thank you, dear God. We thank you for laughter.
Thank you.
We thank you for joy. We don't want to take this moment for granted. Each moment that we have, each breath that we take, we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come forth, because I can't preach without you, dear God. Allow the Holy Spirit to reign. We welcome you right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We just thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As I had said, you know, this was very interesting for me, because what happens is that as I read this particular piece, I said to myself, oh my God, the last time I was here, we read from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Now we're reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. I said, God is truly, truly, truly talking to us. Mm-hmm. You know, I was there last night, and I tell you what, I'm sure you hear on the news about the many things that's going on over in Europe, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I hear how, and I'm looking at the news, and the people over there in Palestine, they're starving. They're starving. They're begging for food, mm-hmm. you know? Israel just recently allowed one of the ships to come in, and the people was in there fighting, just trying to grab some rice, a can of beans, anything, you know? And I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And they showed some of the territory and what's that they had there. Well, if you have read your Bible at any time, you realize that Jesus was a Nazarene, you know? And if you look at the layout, you realize that, guess what? As a Nazarene, you're also considered as a Palestinian. Mm-hmm. You know, did I say that right? Palestinian.
Yep, Palestinian.
You know, mm-hmm. So it kind of made it relative. I said, you know, what the people are going over, the Palestinian people are going through. Mm-hmm. Guess what? People, they looked at Jesus, because guess what? It's very mountainous. Mm-hmm. It's very dry. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of growth. You don't get a lot of green growth right in that particular area. You know, so with that, you know, you just kind of get a visual as to what was going on. So when we read this here particular scripture, and it talks about, and he hath who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, right off the bat, you know, we read this particular scripture, but do we truly understand what God is saying? As I was reading last night, you have so many different viewpoints on this particular scripture. Some of the Jewish people say, well, no, they wasn't talking about Jesus. They wasn't talking about Jesus. They were talking about another prophet. You got all kinds of spins that people have on here. But when I read this particular piece, there's no doubt in my mind, you know, in the Old Testament, that's what they called him, you know, that would be forthcoming, the Messiah. And several times in this particular scripture, you'll hear those particular words. So, as I read on, it said, who have believed our report? There's a lot of people that are saying a lot of different things. But as you read this here particular scripture, the Holy Spirit leads us to a better understanding. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You know, I thought that was very ironic, because oftentimes when you see a picture of Jesus in every most people's houses, you know, he got the long hair, he got the blue eyes, you know, his mm-hmm. skin is very clear. Mm-hmm. But when I read this scripture, you know, and I have to go back to the scripture, because I use scripture to define scripture, you know, and that is that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So I'm saying this word is instruction. It kind of gives us a viewpoint as to what Jesus really looked at, you know? And if he was a Palestinian and he grew up in that, but you can kind of visualize just what some of the skin and the hair and everything else looked like. So I just enjoyed this here particular piece, because it gave me a better depiction of what Jesus really looked like. Okay, and it says there was no beauty that we should desire him. You know, it's not that he was ugly, but he was rough around the edges. I'll put it like that. Okay, and he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, oftentimes when you have a sensitive heart, what I mean by a sensitive heart, and that is that, you know, you have compassion for other people. One thing about Jesus, and that is that when people were sick, it bothered him. When people was going through things or had death, it bothered him. You know, that's what the love of God will do for you. You know, the love of God has a way of which that when you're going through things, I'm going through things. You know, oftentimes we think that we're going through things by ourselves. Nobody knows what I'm going through. God knows. There's not one thing that you're going through that God does not know all about. You know, surely he has borne our griefs. That just goes back just what I got done saying. And that is that the things that we're going through, guess what? He actually felt those things. And then I'll repeat that particular verse, and that's verse 4. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Everything in which that we're going through, he could feel it. You know, he could feel, you know, oftentimes people take advantage, you know, what they said. Well, those people that are sensitive like that, they're weak, you know. No, God was meek. And as I read this particular piece, no, I'm not going to jump ahead, but I can't wait to go ahead and move forward, and that's what I'm going to do. He says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he esteemed them stricken, smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, that's verse 5. When I thought about that, I said, do you realize what it would take for him to keep his mouth shut as he was being tested, as he was being scourged, as he was being beaten, as he is being talked about, you know? And as I read the particular scripture, he said that any time I could have called down legions of angels, but he opened not his mouth. I said, you talk about strength? That's not weakness. That is definitely not weakness. I mean, that is meekness to his all, to the epitome of life. But be mindful of this. Why would he allow himself to be beaten and talked about and feeling the pain and the sorrows that we're going through? And it was because of love. That's why I share with individuals, until you know God, you don't know nothing about love. You know, because with love, you know, it ain't always up on top of the mountain. You know, can you love somebody when they have done you wrong? Can you love somebody when they turn their back on you? Can you love somebody when they talk about you? You know, that's why God says, you've never seen me, but yet you're sitting around telling me that you love me, you know? But you have your brothers and sisters that you see every day, and you can't love them? Well, they talked about me. Well, you know, they lied on me. He said, yeah, but what I've done for you, guess what? I love you so much, even while you were yet in sin, I was willing to die for you. What a loving God. The epitome of all of this is based on the love that God had for us. Even the compassion when we were going through things, the sickness, the death. You know, he was grieved. You know why he was grieved? Because he hated to see us going through these things. That's how much love that he had for us. What a mighty God we serve. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I just quoted the scripture and said, while we were yet in sin, he died for us. Mm-hmm. Why, you know, guess what? We can't sit around and say, well, Lord, you know, I didn't praise you all my life. You know, stop lying. Stop lying. You know, because even when you look at people and you say, well, you know, she wore that hat, but she didn't need to do that. Guess what? That's sin. You know, look at it. Got those 9-inch heels. Who she thinks she is? That's sin, talking about people. You know what I mean? It is so easy. You know, it's so easy for us to look at everybody. Let me put it like this. To point our finger at somebody, not realizing that when you point, you got 3 fingers pointing back at you. You know? So it behooves us to watch how we conduct ourselves. As we continue to grow in Christ, you stop pointing at people and you start looking at yourself. The more you grow in Christ, the more you read your word, the more you stop talking about people and you start looking at who you are. That's why I loved about communion, because the communion said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. You know what your heart is at. Examine yourself before God has to examine you. You know, you just don't do any kind of thing and any kind of thing that you want to do, because if God has to examine you, you'd have been humbled. You know, God has a way of making even a grown man break down. Okay? And as it goes down, he said, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. You know, and as I said before, because of the love that he had for us, he allowed himself to go through. This 53rd chapter is a basis, actually, of our Christian faith. You know, when I read the 53rd chapter, it kind of gives you an overview of what all of the Christian faith, our belief, what was it all about? What is all of this all for? First of all, it starts off with a base of love. You know, God so loved us that he put together a plan that when we decided to go on our own in the Garden of Eden, you know, that God put together a plan so we could come back into paradise. You know, Satan realizes that he can't come back. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy, because he can't come back into paradise. He was kicked out years ago. He knows that he can't come back. But God loved us so much that he made a way for us to come back. And how do we come back? By the grace of God, through faith.
Hallelujah.
By the grace of God, glory, through faith. You know, Ephesians talking about, by grace are we saved. Not of ourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Once again, based on love. You know, that's why I keep telling everybody, learn how to love. Learn how to love. Anytime you're talking about somebody, oops, you better learn how to love. You know, Hey, what greater love than any man that he'd be willing to die for a friend? Oh, my God, how great God is. He was made, let me say that, verse 8. Okay, verse 8 talking about he's going from prison, judgment. Who shall declare the generations? For he was cut off out of the land of living, and the transgressor of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You're talking about any deceit in your mouth. Once again, talking about the things that we say. What proceedeth out of a man's mouth, so is he. You know? Mm-hmm. Be careful on what you say. Be careful on what you talk. Be reminded of somebody said, well, you know, I'm pretty good for my age. You know, I got rheumatitis, my toe hold, I got a bunion over here on this here side. Amen. You know, guess what? You have what you say.
Yeah.
You have what you say. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you're walking by faith, mm-hmm. You know, every day is a great day. You know, mm-hmm. You thank God that he woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. You turn around and you say, I got food on my table. You know, what a mighty God we serve. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put off him in grief. When thou have made thy soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What a mighty God we serve. You know, the sacrifices that is made is fine. But the major thing that is so important is that it is accepted by God. You know, you can give a sacrifice, but if it's not a sacrifice, that's what happened with Cain and Abel. You take Cain and Abel. Cain, you know, his sacrifice was not accepted, you know. Why was it accepted? It talks about your heart, you know, when you give it grudgingly, when you don't give it in its proper context, you know, it wasn't accepted by God, you know. And he said, but you can do better. You can do better. But guess what? He got angry. And he killed his brother, you know? But guess what? It shows that when you do the right thing and you're submitting to God, that he will accept that sacrifice. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by the knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know, I like that word says, satisfied. God was satisfied with that sacrifice. You know, that is the epitome of all the things in which Jesus did. The sacrifice was there, but was it accepted? Was it accepted? I love the fact when, I love to express the mere fact that you had many witnesses that was at the cross, that he was crucified, okay? The penalty was being paid. The penalty, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The penalty was being paid as he was hung up on the cross, thinking about the scourging, the beating, everything that he went through, the crown that was placed on his head, the thorns pressed down on his head, blood, you know, I mean, just pulling his skin, just a minute, they couldn't even recognize him. They couldn't even recognize who Jesus was, you know. But that sacrifice, everything that he had went through was received by God. It satisfied God because the wages of sin is death. Somebody got to die. Somebody got to pay that penalty. Jesus paid that penalty for us because he loved us so much. You know, oftentimes when we think in terms of, you know, Jesus, we very rarely see a picture of where that he is smiling or anything of that particular nature. You know, because it was just sitting there talking about he was a man of grief. He was a man of grief. And as I sat there and I was reflecting last night, and I had said to myself, wow, you know, he was a man of grief. You know, was there any joy in his life? You know, when, you know, I got a heart like Christ, you know, and that is that, you know, if I see you hurting, I'm hurting. If I see you in need, I'm going to do whatever I can in order to make and try to make it as easy as I possibly can for you. So when I'm reading this, I'm saying to myself, my God, did he ever have any joy? You know, and it just so happened, as I was looking at and I started looking it up, you know, I would like to share a piece with you in that we just talked about how he was stricken, how he was beaten, you know, he was walking around, he a lot of people didn't like him, you know, the kindness that he showed and displayed, you know, he was acquainted with grief, you know, I mean, it seemed like no matter where he turned around, you know, somebody was hurting, somebody, excuse me, somebody was going through things, you know, so right off the bat, you know, you're saying to yourself, did he have any joy? You know, I can remember reading in the scriptures in which that his parents had went to Jerusalem and they turned around and looking for him. And guess what? They said, where is he? He said, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? You know, I got to be about my father's business. He was always thinking in terms of the people, you know. So, you know, the type of person that I am, I'm saying, didn't he have any joy? You know, in people's life, you want to say, you know, I want to see you have some kind of joy in life, you know. But as I looked at that, you know, I had to look at the scriptures. And the scripture shared with me when I went to Luke, the 10th chapter, right around the 20th verse, it says, notwithstanding, and this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit, you know, rejoiced in the spirit, knowing that his sacrifice will actually satisfy God. And it says in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and the Father is but the Son, and he hath whom the Son will be revealed. You're talking about God rejoicing, you know. Now he didn't rejoice in cars, he didn't rejoice in, oh, it was some good food, you know. What he rejoiced in is that there was a provisions made that, you know, those individuals in which that followed him, that loved on him, that believed in him, that their names are now written in the book of life. That means that they get everlasting life. That means that he's looking down the road, and after he is resurrected, guess what? He's the first, and there will be others that follow him. You know, he's opening up the door, you know. So he was able to rejoice at that particular time. What a mighty God we serve. You know, oftentimes the Messiah, you know, was looked at as weak. But as I said before, it took great courage and strength and power and might of God expressing himself in the midst of the suffering. In the midst of the suffering, you know, expressing God. You know, they said, well, you know, if you, you know, just stop talking about God and that you're God's son, you know, he wouldn't, you know. He found great strength in that. Jesus seemed weak, but before God, that's where his strength was. He said, you know, pretty soon you guys are going to leave me, you know. Peter, he was saying, no, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I would die with you. He said, no, before the day's over, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, no. When you're with God, that's where your strength is. I told my grandsons this past week, you know, they said, you know, Papa, as a young man, I see my dad made it. You made it. How am I going to make it? I said, son, if you stay with God, you can't fail. You can't fail.
Amen.
If you stay with God, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begged bread. You know, oftentimes what happens is that we have to start looking at the Bible to see what the promises of God, you know. These are promises that God made to us, you know, and I hold him accountable.
Hallelujah.
You know, you said that you've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begged bread. Well, I got grandsons out here trying to make it. They're trying to be decent boys, you know, and carrying on. And I know that they're going to have trials and tribulations. They might even slip and fall. But guess what? I believe that they'll find something to eat. I believe that they will find shelter. I believe that God will watch out for them. What a mighty God we serve. Mm-hmm. You know, and as I said, how Jesus, they grew up and as he was called Nazarene, you know. And if you look at that, I wish I had a big blow up where I could show you the map, you know. He was, you know, and we hear a lot of things about the Palestinians now. He was actually called a Palestinian. You know, so it just behooves us as when you hear people talking about people, you know, just what the real deal is. Who are these people? The Messiah took our guilt and God wrath upon himself, just as the Messiah has our pain upon himself. I was taking notes last night as I was reading. He makes our grief and sorrow as his own. Oftentimes, you know, to be able to think in that capacity where that you see people that's going through things and you actually are grieved yourself. Very few people actually come to that conclusion. Most people say, well, that's probably their fault. You know, if that's that kind of lifestyle that they're living, if they had a different lifestyle, they wouldn't be doing that. Yes. We're so judgmental. Mm-hmm. We're so judgmental. But I thank God. I thank God that, you know, that you can sit around and say, in spite of that, guess what? In spite of whether they're on dope or not, you know, if they're hungry, feed them. In spite of whether they did wrong, if they're in prison, visit them. Say something. Give them a Bible to read, you know, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, it could be me. What a mighty God we serve. Remember, spiritual and physical healing came about through Jesus' suffering. The physical healing that we have now is only because of what Jesus went through. Because of that, you know, he told his disciples, greater things will you do because I'm going to my Father, which is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Other words, oh death, where's that sting? Oh grave, where's that victory?
Hallelujah.
When Jesus died and he was hung up for our hang-ups, guess what? He covered all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He covered all that. So guess what? He sends his preachers out to empower you, to let you know without a shadow of a doubt. Guess what? If you're in Christ Jesus, if you believe that, you know, Christ, that Jesus died for your sins, and guess what? You believe in the resurrection, and you're walking by faith, guess what? You're more than conquerors. You know, God sees everything that's transpiring in your life. You are now empowered. You're part of the family of God. You talk about the kingdom of God, you're part of the kingdom of God. You know, so God encourages each one of us to hold on to his hand in spite of what it looks like. Yeah, but I'm going through this and I'm going through that. In spite of what it looks like, understand what Jesus went through. Understand, he said, take up that cross and follow me. You know, guess what? That's part of that cross. When you're going through those pains, when you're going through that agony, you know, think in terms of the connection that you have with Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, because Jesus went through the same thing. He said, take up that cross and follow me, you know, because we realize one thing, and that is that the bottom line, you know, he made a way of escape, or this body, you know, will deteriorate. But guess what? We don't have to worry about death no more. You know, when you close this eye and you take the last breath here, you're crossing over into a brand new life. You know, what a mighty God we serve. When I look at some of the things that Jesus done after he had died, the disciples sitting in there behind locked doors, and all of a sudden Jesus is in the midst. He's walking through walls. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. You know, so I'm looking forward to greater things. I'm looking forward to the mere fact that we have favor with God. I'm looking forward to the fact that, guess what? Now I don't have to go to the priest and say, hey, can you talk to God for me? I can talk to God myself. Now there's a better covenant, you know, because guess what? I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. When I do things that is inappropriate, the Holy Spirit will convict me and say, hey, make this here right. Because guess what? You know, we reside inside of you. That body that you have now, we reside inside of you. That's why it's so important to be careful on what you listen to, on what comes out of your mouth. Because, you know, this here body that we have, you know, we are the kingdom. You know, God resides with us, you know, within this here body. What a mighty God we serve. We have to learn how to walk in it. We have to learn how to talk in it. Hallelujah. We have to learn how Glory. To have faith in the mere fact that, guess what? What he said, I believe. We got to learn how to hold God accountable for the things that he said. You know, we have prayers, and he's talking about the healing of the sick. If you got somebody that's sick, call for the elders of the church. Hold God accountable. Call for the elders. Listen, I'm sick. I need you to come by here and bring your oil, you know, and let them anoint you with oil. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. God still got servants out on the front line. God got Hallelujah. Servants that are sitting out there yes. saying, hold on, Glory. Hold out, don't give up, yes. run your race yes. strong, Hallelujah. Be of good courage. Yes. What a mighty God we serve. Yes. That God sees everything. He encourages you. And right away, here's a token of love. You know, because let me tell yes. you one thing. God don't have limitations like we got. Yes. You know, he has 1,000, you know, talking about cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, the mountains are his. Yes. You know, he was scooping up mountains. What a mighty God we serve. Let's walk in it. Hallelujah. Let's talk in it. Let's be about our Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ. I hope there's something in what that I've said to encourage your heart. I just encourage you to continue to run on and see what the end will be. Mm-hmm. Then when I ask the wife if she have a song and what's that as we prepare for our communion.
Yes.
You know, as she's singing this song, I want you to do something, and that is that examine yourself. Have you said anything this past week talking about folks and carrying on? Guess what? Clean the slate. Clean your slate.
Hallelujah.
You know, on a daily basis, Glory. He says, as often as you do this, this shows remembrance of the Lord's death. Know what God did for you. You know, walk in his love.
Hallelujah.
Walk in his love. Examine yourself and ask God to forgive you and let us commune yes, one with another.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. God, just thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the word going forward unhindered, unchecked, with excellence, accuracy, and boldness for your glory. singing part of a song that's been on my mind for weeks. So here it goes. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. That's love. They hold him high. They stretch him wide. He hung his head and for me he died. That's love. That's love. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. That's love. They stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for me he died. That's love. That's love. That's love.
Amen. 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 Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for visiting us and allowing us to bring forth your word as you seem fit. Dear God, God bless us. As we prepare to have communion, bless the communion. Oftentimes we look at the sacraments And we realize that different people use these sacraments for different reasons. You can go to some party places and they got these sacraments and just little tidbits. And dear God, but we're going to ask you to bless these sacraments and change them from a cardinal use to a spiritual use. Just bless it, Heavenly Father. As we look at the bread symbolizing his body that was hung up for our hangers, the wine symbolizes the shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So bless it. Keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll pass them out at this time. Thank you. We thank God for this opportunity. We won't take this for granted. We thank God for this opportunity. Bring us down the highway. Keeping us. Keeping us.
Yes.
In spite of this world. Yes, as we said, the bread symbolizing his body that was hung up for our hang-ups. Juice symbolizing the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Anybody need help?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. Hang on a minute.
Thank God for each one of you making your way out. We just so good to see you. It is so good to see you. I don't want to take nothing for granted. You know, just good to see each and every one of you.
Okay,
but
Maxwell is still in the hospital. They had to count blood yesterday.
Well, she's at the
same place.
Okay, yeah, I'm going. That's my next stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's been up there for like about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's done, started for you.
And I'll tell you, like last month I went there, she said, I've been waiting on you.
Oh,
I said, well,
okay.
We stopped over at your house before we came up here. You know, so, you know, I know a lot of times would she be waiting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you get it.
Okay, I got you started. You can probably get it from there.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, did you get
it
first?
No.
Oh, okay.
My bread is on top.
Oh, you got the bread.
Okay, this one's...
You got the bread.
Bring it in.
Did you get it? You good?
I'm good.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Shall we grab the bread? The bread symbolizes the body that was hung up for our anchor. And we just thank God. We thank God. We thank God for what he did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we eat?
Amen.
Followed by the cup. You know, the cup symbolizes the blood. Because without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. We just thank God for the fellowship. We thank God for the fellowship one with another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
I know it was the blood for me.
Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the services. We thank you for keeping us. Dear God, there's a prayer request came out, dear God, for Mother Maxwell. Oh, dear God, bless her right now in the name of Jesus. Mm. Bless the doctors, dear God, that is taking care of her.
Lord,
dear God, we need you right now. We call on your name. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we call on your name and we ask for a healing, dear God.
Yes.
We ask for a healing, dear God, because we believe that you can do anything but fail. We ask you for a healing for Tommy Thompson because we believe that you can do anything but fail. Dear Heavenly Father, I would like for you to bless my family. I ask you to bless every family that's represented here today, dear God.
Lord.
Even whether it was financial, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual. Oh, dear God, bless us right now. Because I know without you, we can do nothing. Oh, dear God, we need you. All those individuals that's going to be listening to the podcast, bless them right now in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
I didn't call out your name, but bless them, dear God.
Hallelujah.
Touch them right now
Glory.
In the name of Jesus. Let them know, dear Heavenly Father, even though that they're not physically here, that just because they're listening to the word, they will be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, you told us in Revelation, just those individuals reading this word can't help but to be blessed. Bless us, keep us, anoint our footsteps, and we'll be careful always to acknowledge you as our Lord, our God, and our Savior, and I humbly submit this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for each and every one of you. Praise God.